is a blue. Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck. And the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck.
Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday, the 2nd of July 2018. It's 11 o'clock and it's been a fabulous weekend. The weather's been great and it looks like another hot week ahead. So I hope you're all well and I hope you've had a great weekend. On today's show, something a bit different actually. We're going to be talking about diabetes for the entire show. Now, for those of you that know me, you'll know that diabetes management, prevention, and also potential remission and reversal is quite a passion of mine. And I have many clients with type 2 diabetes and many of whom I have helped to put into remission. But I'm also on a mission as well. And my mission is to educate 100 million people by the year 2030 to either prevent, to manage, to identify or to reverse type 2 diabetes. So I thought using today's show would be a good platform to educate some of you out there. Perhaps you have diabetes, you don't really understand the condition, or maybe you know someone that has diabetes, maybe a family member or maybe a friend. And perhaps they don't understand it, or you want to understand it a bit better. You may be one of the 700,000 in this country that has type 2 diabetes at the moment, or certainly the onset of type 2, and you don't yet realise you've got it. So we're going to talk about things like the difference between type 1 and type 2, and the show is going to focus on type 2. We're going to have a chat about the symptoms of undiagnosed type 2. So you might be able to identify perhaps with some of the symptoms that I mention, and it might be worth a chat to your doctor if you can identify with a few of them. We're going to talk about insulin, we're going to talk about glucagon, we'll talk about the damage that type 2 diabetes does to the body and how serious it can be, and we'll wrap up around 12 o'clock with how to prevent it and potentially how to reverse it. So before we start, a quick disclaimer. The purpose of the Health Matters Radio Show is to provide competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate, inform and enlighten you in ways that you might improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I am not engaged in providing medical advice and the content of the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health or if you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking to your pharmacist first. All content is provided for general information only and is based on my knowledge, my experience and offer my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or the application of the content of the show. If you'd like to tweet in, the show's Twitter feed is @HealthRadioShow. If you'd like to have a shout out for you or your business, or if you have an event coming up you'd like me to mention, please tweet in. Use the hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. Also, if you have any questions about type 2, please feel free to tweet me while I'm on air. If I have time and I'm able to answer it, I will answer it on air. Otherwise, I will hold the question and perhaps I'll answer it on next week's show. And the show's Facebook page is Health Matters Radio Show. And as normal, if you'd like to contact me personally via email, you can find my details via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. We've also got some music from 1982 today. I've got some great tracks to play as we go through the hour. So what is type 2 diabetes? Let's have a talk about type 2 and type 1 before we start. So type 1, there's lots of different types of diabetes. There's gestational diabetes, there's diabetes insipidus, and then there's the ones that most people know, type 1 and type 2. Now, of all the people that have diabetes, type 1, type 2 diabetes, only 10% have type 1. So 9 out of 10 people with diabetes will have type 2. And type 2, for the most part, is a kind of self-inflicted. That sounds quite harsh, but that's the reality of it. There are exceptions to that rule, and I do acknowledge that. But type 2 is linked to lifestyle and it is linked to diet. Yes, family history can come into it, but for the most part, in most people, it's diet and lifestyle related. However, type 1 isn't. Type 1 is an autoimmune disease. So an autoimmune disease is where your body's immune system attacks itself, it attacks the body, it attacks functions of the body. And in the case of type 1 diabetes, it's actually your body's immune system attacking the pancreas and destroying the beta cells. Now, the beta cells produce insulin. The alpha cells produce glucagon, and we'll come on to that a bit later in the show. But the beta cells produce insulin, and in type 1 diabetes, your body's immune system destroys those beta cells, and therefore you cannot produce insulin, and you have to inject or have by syringe, by pump, sometimes it's in tablet form, but you have to take insulin to counteract the fact that your body doesn't make it at all. Type 2 is different. Type 2 generally, just to confirm, type 1 generally comes on in childhood. You don't generally get type 1 as you get older. Type 1 sort of happens from sort of 20 and below. But type 2 is different. Type 2, the body does still produce insulin. There's no autoimmune reaction, but the body becomes insulin resistant. So insulin is the hormone that helps the cells to take in the glucose that's in the blood. So when you eat carbohydrates, particularly sugary carbohydrates or grains or potatoes, your blood sugar rises quite quickly. And as the blood sugar rises, the pancreas produces the insulin hormone, and it helps cells to take in that extra glucose from the blood into the cells so the cells can use it for energy. But as I say, in type 2 diabetes, we have this thing called insulin resistance. Insulin resistance is often linked to excess body weight. It's often linked to excess abdominal fat. And those two things alone have been very much linked to this condition called insulin resistance or lack of insulin sensitivity. And when the body cells are resistant or not so sensitive to insulin, basically the blood glucose, this rising blood sugar, goes around and around and around the body. And this is what causes extreme amounts of damage. It can cause it in the short term. It tends to cause it in the longer term. And type 2 diabetes generally affects people over the age of 40. And it obviously is linked to things like high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So that's the difference between type 1 and type 2. So type 1 is out of the person's control. It's an autoimmune condition that they can't influence. Type 2 is generally self-inflicted in as much as it is diet and it is lifestyle related. Lack of exercise obviously plays a big part. The good thing about type 2 is if you know how to manage it and it's not too advanced, even if you're on medication, in my opinion, and as I've proven with my clients, it can be reversed. And we'll come on to that a bit later in the show. So just some quick facts for you. In the UK, in 1996, so 22 years ago, there were 1.4 million type 2 diabetics in this country. The latest statistic, I think, is around 4.3 million. Of that 4.3 million, only 3.6 million know they've got it. And around 700,000 have got it and yet don't know it until, and we'll come on to diagnosis in the show in a bit later. It's expected that over 5 million will have it by 2025. And worldwide, there are around 400 to 500 million people with type 2 diabetes. And in this country alone, 700 people a day are diagnosed with type 2. That's quite a serious condition. And despite the best efforts by the health authorities, it's a condition that is on the rise. And my view is people need to be self-aware of the condition and take control and be accountable for their own diet and lifestyle so they take control of their own health and not depend on the health system to make decisions for us. It's also interesting that diabetes is actually a big contributor to premature death. And whilst they will put on the death certificate the cause of death, so heart attack or cardiovascular disease or whatever it might be, that would be the thing that caused the person to die, but it doesn't actually mention the thing that caused that condition in the first place, and that is often linked to type 2 diabetes. So quite a serious condition. After the break, we are going to have a chat about the symptoms of undiagnosed type 2. So you may be, you may think you're not a type 2 diabetic, but there might be some symptoms there that perhaps you can identify with. So as I mentioned, I'm taking you back 36 years today to 1982. We've got some great music ahead, some great tunes. And the first of these is Steve Miller and Abracadabra.
I heat up, I can't cool down. Got me spinning round and round. Round and round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Every time you call my name, I heat up like a burning flame. Burning flame, full of desire. Kiss me, baby, let the fire get higher.
The quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. I hope you're all well. And we're spending the hour this morning talking about type 2 diabetes. And we've just been talking about what's the difference between type 1 and type 2. And actually, what is type 2 diabetes? If you'd like to tweet into the show, the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. Use the hashtag, hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. The show's Facebook page is Health Matters Radio Show. Please follow the show, like the page. And as normal, if you'd like to contact me directly, my website address is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. A couple of quick shout outs from my good friend Terry Botfield. Terry's tweeted me in and said, great subject, Neil. Shout out, please, for the Marsh Networking Over Coffee networking meeting on the 11th of July from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock at the Cinqport Arms in New Romney. I've actually attended that networking group. It's actually really good, and it's a great bunch of people down there. Terry normally gets between 25 and 35 people down there. So if you've got time to spare on the 10th, then please, sorry, on the 11th, just to confirm, Wednesday the 11th from 10 o'clock at the Cinqport Arms, then do pop down there. For details, please go to his website, which is www.botfieldassociates.co.uk, and click on Marsh Events. And a message in from Sue Lee. Now, Sue's asked me my opinion on the reversal of type 2 diabetes through extremely low-calorie diets. I'm going to come on to this a bit later. Now, this is my personal opinion. Type 2 diabetes often takes a long time to develop, and it's often managed by drugs for a long time. Expecting a quick fix, in my opinion, isn't necessarily that safe, potentially unsustainable as well. If you take a very, very low-calorie diet, you might do it for a month, you might do it for 2 months. Ultimately, it's not sustainable for most people, and the old habits creep back in. I do help people to reverse type 2 diabetes, but I don't generally do these low-calorie diets and don't use shakes or anything, any other products apart from natural food. If you can get someone to change their habits and change their diet through eating proper natural food, then do you know what? They'll do it for the rest of their life. You put someone on shakes for a month, yes, they might get a bit of a result, but ultimately, in my view, it's unsustainable. We'll come on to that a bit later on. So let's go on to the symptoms of undiagnosed type 2 diabetes. This is a really important one, okay, because there are around 700,000 people in the UK that currently have type 2 diabetes and they don't yet know it. So they're blissfully ignorant, and they will be until either they start getting symptoms, and more serious symptoms actually, or it will get picked up on a random blood test. The doctors won't often be searching or looking for type 2 diabetes, but blood glucose is often taken as a random and a matter of course test anyway. And you might find that they go, oh, this is a bit high, and you might have type 2 and not know it. So let's have a look at some of these issues. Now, some of these issues people do put down to just getting a bit older, but in many cases, it is linked to type 2 diabetes. So again, this isn't a diagnosis in your individual case. I'm not making a diagnosis for you. If you can identify with one or two of these things, it might be worth a conversation with your doctor if you haven't had your blood sugars tested in the last few years. And again, type 2 diabetes is one of those conditions that the earlier you catch it and manage it, and potentially reverse it, the better it is. If you allow it to get worse and worse and worse, the damage it does is pretty horrific. And we'll come on to damage a bit later. So these are some of the symptoms to look out for. If you have an increased thirst. Now, in advanced type 2 diabetes, the kidneys get involved in reducing down blood sugars. So your body will do what it can to manage blood sugars internally by the use of hormones, obviously particularly insulin. If it gets to a point where it just can't cope, then the kidneys kick in and your body starts to get rid of excess glucose through your urine. As a consequence, you become dehydrated and you become thirsty. Increased hunger. This is because the cells have an inability to use glucose effectively for energy, so the cells are starving. And the signal that cells are starving is that you're always hungry and you particularly crave sugary things. If you have a dry mouth, then this is obviously linked to dehydration as well and excessive urination. If you go to the toilet a lot, especially at night, that can be a symptom as well. If you have unexplained weight loss, it isn't just linked to weight gain, actually. It's quite an interesting one. If you have unexplained, and that's the key, if you're dieting, if you're intentionally losing weight and you're losing weight, great. If you're eating the same and your activities are the same and your lifestyle is the same, but you're losing weight, again, might be worth a chat with your GP and take it from there. If you have itching down below, now, when you start to pee glucose, the bacteria in your lower regions are attracted to that glucose, and they live on that glucose, and it's the perfect breeding ground for them down there. So if you get constant yeast infections, it can be a symptom that you are urinating excessive amounts of glucose. Again, perhaps worth a chat to your doctor. If you're tired all the time, if you have fatigue all the time, if you have headaches all the time, that can be symptoms of a lot of things, actually, but it is one of the symptoms of undiagnosed type 2. Blurred vision. Now, when your blood glucose level rises high, it actually makes the lens of the eye swell. It can cause other damage, and we'll come on to diabetic retinopathy in a little while. But blurred vision is caused by the lens in the eye swelling because of the increase in blood sugars. And also these things called floaters, you know, when you shut your eye or you just see things going across the eye, and it's not there in front of you, but you can, it's inside your eye, but you can see them. If you get a lot of these floaters across the eye, that can be a symptom of type 2. And as I mentioned, the blood sugar, this increase in blood sugar causes this swollen, the lens to swell. And obviously blurred vision is a symptom. Slow healing of cuts and grazes. Advanced type 2 causes nerve damage. It can cause other conditions as well. It can narrow blood vessels, which means the white blood cells and the immune cells don't always get to where they need to be. So if you cut yourself or you graze yourself, and it's taken a long time to heal, maybe get it checked out. And nausea and vomiting. This can be a sign of type 1 or type 2, but obviously we are talking about type 1 here. So as the blood sugar fluctuates, it can disrupt your metabolism and it can cause dizziness, which can sometimes make you feel sick. Some other things to consider. So, you know, maybe if you can identify with two or three of those, perhaps worth a chat to your doctor. And you know what? Even if you don't come to me and you don't come to me for help, but you go to your doctor and you get it diagnosed and it makes you take action and you live a happier, healthier, longer life because of it, then as far as I'm concerned with my mission, it's job done. So of my mission to educate 100 million people, I'm never going to meet those 100 million people or the vast majority of them. But through the book that I'm writing, through the radio show, hopefully they will take action and their life will be lengthened and improved because of the information I give them. And that's great. Yeah, I'm just here to help you. Other considerations. So if you've got a bit of a big belly, that can be a problem. So ideally, your waistline should be half of your height. So if you're 6 foot, if you're 72 inches, then ideally the circumference of your waistline, your belly, shouldn't be more than 36 inches. If it's more than 36 inches, it's an indication of high levels of abdominal fat, and high levels of abdominal fat are linked to fatty liver, and both of those are linked to insulin problems, insulin resistance in particular. If you have too many sugary drinks, that can be a problem. Also, artificially sweetened and diet drinks, so drinks with no sugar. Just because it's got no sugar in doesn't mean it's healthy. And there is research out there that has suggested that diet drinks also contribute to obesity, and they also contribute to type 2 diabetes. As I mentioned at the start, family history does come into it. Family history does have an impact a little bit, but often it's because of habits. If you've got parents with bad habits and they've got diabetes, as a child, you pick up those bad habits and then you develop diabetes. That can be a link to family history. But genes can play a part in a small number of cases. Lack of physical exercise. If you're quite sedentary and you don't exercise a lot, then maybe you should get off the couch, stop watching TV and just go for a walk. And if you want to, go for a jog. Start off somewhere small. You know, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. So just start walking around the block and then walk around the block twice and then walk for half a mile. Just get out and exercise. Exercise is really, really important. If you want to bring down blood sugars, you need to encourage your muscle cells to take up that glucose. As I mentioned, type 2 diabetes can develop much more slowly than type 1. Type 1 happens sometimes within weeks. Type 2 can happen over 10 years. And it does cause a lot of damage to things like the eyes, the major organs, your heart. It causes cardiovascular issues. It can cause hemorrhaging in the eyes. This thing called diabetic retinopathy, that can lead to blindness. And that can happen quite early on. So again, take it seriously. And if you're getting blurry vision, get it checked out. Diabetes, type 2 diabetes, is the leading cause of foot amputation in this country because of nerve damage and circulatory damage. So limbs tend to have a cut that you don't realize. The cut gets infected. That becomes an ulcer, and the ulcer leads to gangrene. You know, I don't want to get too grim about this, but it's quite a serious issue. So take this condition of undiagnosed diabetes seriously. And if you have type 2, please manage it properly and do what you can to try to reverse it. So it causes nerve damage. It causes damage to the feet. It causes damage to the kidneys because the kidneys are put under pressure to get rid of all this excess glucose. And it's one of the major contributors to heart attacks and cardiovascular issues as well. So type 2 diabetes isn't a case of, oh, this means I've got to manage my blood sugars a little bit. It's really serious. You know, without a doubt, it contributes to a lot of conditions that people die from. It does affect quality of life, and it does shorten your life in many, many cases. So again, if you want any help and advice, you can find me through the show's Facebook and Twitter feeds. If you'd like to have a chat to me individually about type 2 diabetes, if you have it and want some help to manage it, then grab me through my website, www.i-nutrition.co.uk. If you suspect that you might have it, please talk to your doctors. But if you want to have a chat to me about anything concerning type 2 that you're worried about, then please do not hesitate to contact me via my website. So, on the theme of 1982, another great classic, a one-hit wonder, but really, really good song by the J. Giles Band, and it's Centrefold.
Years go by, I'm looking through a girl's magazine, and there's my home.
I thought I'd let this song play out right to the end. I love the end of that song. That was the J. Giles Band and Centrefold from 1982. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. Okay, so just a quick reminder, the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show and the Facebook page is Health Matters Radio Show. Please drop me a tweet, drop me a line, send me an email, or put a post on the Facebook page if you want to. Just give me some feedback as to what how you're finding the show's content so far. I mean, normally what we normally do is on the Health Matters Radio Show, I kind of cover lots of different subjects. But I thought today it would be nice to pull them all together in one comprehensive hour on one particular subject. Because, as I say, diabetes, type 2 diabetes, management, reversal, prevention and identity is quite a passion of mine. And I thought it'd be a nice opportunity to just spend a bit of time covering the subject in a cohesive way. And a logical way as well. So hopefully by the time you finish this hour, you'll be clued up on type 2 diabetes and know a bit more about it. So we're going to go on and talk about insulin. Now, some of you have heard of insulin, I don't doubt. The pancreas produces a number of hormones, and a hormone is a regulatory substance that tells your body to do something in its simplest form. And the pancreas produces a number of different hormones, and insulin is one of the major ones that most people that know about diabetes will know about insulin. So insulin helps to keep your blood sugar levels from going too high. This condition called hyperglycemia, which is one of the big issues with type 2 diabetes. Now, when you eat carbohydrates, particularly sugary carbohydrates or simple carbohydrates, they're broken down very quickly into glucose. Now, that is a natural process. The problem is these days is we eat too much sugar, either through the sugar that we add to our food or what's added for us when food is processed, which, again, you know, the importance of reading food labels. And we've covered food labels on previous shows. So when you eat glucose, when you eat sugar, your blood sugar rises, insulin gets produced. And insulin's job is to bring the blood sugars back down to a safe level. Now, insulin does have an interaction with proteins, but we're not going to focus on that today. We are going to focus just purely on carbohydrates. So all your cells need sugar for energy, okay? It is a natural process. But sugar cannot get into your body cells directly. The only exception to that is when you are exercising. Muscles that are being used don't need insulin to accept the glucose that's in the blood. But generally speaking, most of the time, most of your cells need insulin to actually use the glucose. So if you can imagine insulin as being a key to the door. So the insulin unlocks the cells, and it allows this glucose that's in the blood, this sugar that's in the blood, to go into the cells and to be used for energy. So insulin helps you to regulate or control your blood sugar. So when there's enough insulin in your system, i.e. the pancreas is working properly, or your body cells are not resistant to the insulin that's being produced, as is in the case of type 2 diabetes, that process goes on naturally behind the scenes. But it doesn't mean that just because your blood sugars don't rise to dangerous levels that not having type 2 diabetes is bad for you. Because what happens is when you have more sugar in your body than you need, As we mentioned, insulin helps your body cells to use that glucose for energy, but they can only use so much. So if you eat a lot of sugary things, if you have a high grain diet, a high potato diet, and that surprises some people, but we'll come on to grains and potatoes a bit later, then the blood glucose that the cells can't use eventually go back to the liver. And the liver has to convert those. You know, energy cannot be destroyed, it gets transformed from one form to another. It's a basic rule of physics. And what happens is, after a while, the unused glucose goes back to the liver, and the liver then will store some of that as glycogen, which is stored sugar, but it can only store so much. It can only store around 500 to 600 grams, which isn't really very much. Now, if your glycogen reserves are full as well, then the liver has no choice. In order to bring down blood sugars, which are dangerous, it converts those sugars into fatty acids. And those fatty acids are stored as fat around the liver. There is a condition called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and also fatty liver disease, which is linked to alcohol. And the liver builds up fat around it. The liver also sends out fat into the bloodstream. And now these fats are not looking for a home to be used for energy in the cells. They're looking for fat cells. And essentially, in its basic form, that's kind of how we get fat. Not because we eat fat, it's because we eat too much sugar that we just don't use. If you have a sugary snack and you go and run 5 miles, your body's going to use that energy without doubt. However, for most people, they don't do that. They don't go out and exercise very much. And therefore, because they eat too much sugar, they get fat up through that process that I've just described. So there's this condition called homeostasis. Homeostasis is it applies to lots of systems in the body, but it applies in particular to your blood sugar levels. And your body wants to keep around 4 to 5 grams of sugar in its system at any one time. So anything you eat above that, so a can of Coke, for example, or any other fizzy drink, 40 grams of sugar, all that energy has to be used. If it can't be used, it has to be stored. So just remember that it isn't fat that makes you fat, and your body will do all it can to use hormones to bring down your blood sugars down to a safe range. But in doing so, it can create a lot of problems for your liver, and it can create problems to make you fatter as well. So I'll say after a few hours, all this excess blood sugar is converted to fat. And if your body doesn't produce enough insulin, then those blood sugars go round and round and round for a lot longer. And that is the problem with type 2 diabetes. And that's the damage that higher blood sugars cause. So it's important to understand what insulin does. It is the energy usage stroke fat storage hormone. It's a perfectly natural process, providing it's managed properly. So how do you avoid the risk of storage of excess of body fat or developing type 2 diabetes, as well as things like high blood pressure, heart disease, and this thing called metabolic syndrome? Well, you've got to manage your insulin levels. And you do that predominantly by controlling the type and the volume of the carbohydrates you eat. Don't eat lots and lots of carbohydrates in one sitting, and try to avoid sugary and simple carbohydrates. In addition, grains and potatoes are a big contributor to blood sugar rises. It's worth bearing that in mind. People that have diabetes or want to avoid diabetes or type 2 diabetes just generally think it's about sugar. It's also about grains and potatoes as well. So we're going to move on. Another song from 1982. We have a great song by The Jam. It's short and sweet. It's only a couple of minutes long, but it's A Town Called Malice.
interested in collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday, the 2nd of July, on this diabetes special show. So today we've spoken about the difference between type 1 and type 2. We've described what type 1 is. We've looked at the dangers of type 1. We've looked at the symptoms of undiagnosed... the symptoms of undiagnosed type 2, and we've just been talking about insulin. So the next thing I'm going to chat to you about this morning is glucagon. Now, lots of people have heard of insulin. As I mentioned, not many people have heard of glucagon. Now, glucagon is also produced by the pancreas, but whereas insulin is produced by the beta cells, glucagon is produced by the alpha cells. And glucagon does the opposite to insulin. So insulin, it brings down blood sugars once blood sugars rise, and it helps the cells to use the energy, the glucose for energy, but also it stores fat as well. And glucagon actually helps your body to burn fat. So if insulin stores fat, glucagon helps to burn fat. So the glucagon, as I mentioned, is produced, it's a hormone produced by the alpha cells, and it's this counter-regulatory hormone that works against the action of insulin. Now, most people with diabetes know that insulin is secreted by the beta cells, but glucagon is one of the counter-regulatory hormones that helps your body, in conjunction with insulin, to keep the blood sugar levels within a safe range. So what does glucagon do? So glucagon works to counterbalance the actions of insulin. It plays an active role in allowing the body to regulate the utilization of glucose and fats. And if blood glucose is high, then no glucagon gets secreted. So it's important to know that your pancreas produces one or the other. So when blood glucose levels drop, glucagon gets produced. This happens between meals, and it also happens during exercise, and it happens when you're asleep as well. So glucagon has an effect on many cells of the body, but most notably it has an effect on the liver. So it's released in response to low blood glucose levels and to events whereby the body needs additional glucose, such as in response to vigorous exercise. So when glucagon does get released, it does things in the body that are quite good, actually. So it stimulates the liver to break down glycogen. So you remember we spoke about glycogen is a stored glucose in the liver. So it stimulates the liver to break down glycogen, and that gets released into the blood as glucose. It activates a condition called gluconeogenesis. Now, gluconeogenesis is the conversion of fats or amino acids into glucose, fatty acids. And it also helps to break down stored fat, stored body fat, to be used as fuel by body cells. And there is this condition called ketosis, which I'm sure some of you have heard about. And also, glucagon is quite interesting because it's released to help release the fatty acids and the glucose, the stored glucose in the liver, to bring blood sugar levels back up to allow the body to actually function properly. So insulin and glucagon work in what's called a negative feedback loop. So during this process, one event triggers another, which triggers another, and so on. And this helps to keep your blood sugars within this safe range, obviously if you're not a diabetic, called homeostasis. And this whole feedback loop with insulin and glucagon is constantly in motion. It keeps your blood sugar levels from dipping too low, and it ensures that your body has a steady supply of energy. Now, glucagon is quite interesting as well because it can help you to lose body fat. The job of insulin, as we mentioned, is to lower your blood sugar by pushing glucose into the muscles and the liver as a source of energy, but it will also contribute to fat gain as well. So when glucose is present in your bloodstream, insulin blocks access to your body's fat reserve. So if you're burning sugar, you're burning glucose, your body has no need to burn fat, and it's fat that's kept us alive for many, many years, many, many thousands and whatever of years. It's the thing that keeps us alive when we don't have food to eat. So why would the body burn fat when you have sugar? If you have a very sugary diet, you eat lots of carbohydrates, lots of simple carbohydrates and sugary carbohydrates in particular, then why would your body burn its fat reserves, which it might need if you're starving? If you're eating a very high carb diet, then your body will just burn carbs. It won't burn fat. Doesn't mean that a low carb diet is safe, and I don't endorse those, but there is a balance to be found. So just remember that glucagon is the fat burning and the fat unlocking hormone. And glucagon can actually raise your blood sugar by converting glycerol in the fat cells into glucose for fuel. So glucagon also signals the fat cells to release fatty acids, this process called lipolysis, and it signals the body to release stored fat to be used as food. So if you want to convert your body to a fat-burning state, you need to reduce down the carbohydrates. Doesn't mean you need to cut them out. Okay, so whilst there are no essential carbohydrates as such, and there's certainly no essential sugars, whereas there are essential fats and essential proteins, there's no need to go bonkers with this. There's some diets out there that really cut down the carbs so much. And actually, the brain uses carbohydrates, glucose, as its only source of energy. So balance is important. Having a balance, it also means it's sustainable. If there's certain diets where you have no carbohydrates, which is great for about a month when you lose some body fat, lose some weight, and you go, right, I hated doing that. It made me feel really horrible. Where's that bar of chocolate? So it's really important that you get a balance, that your carbs aren't too high, particularly sugary carbs, and you have good fats and good proteins in your diet as well. So if you want to convert your body to a fat-burning state, it's essential that you keep your insulin and your blood sugar levels low, because burning sugar always takes precedence over burning fat. And the more carbs in your diet, the higher your blood sugar and your insulin levels will be. And eventually, if you have sustained high blood sugar and high insulin levels, you are on a potential fast track to type 2 diabetes and potentially will tire out your pancreas or have a condition. This condition we've discussed already this morning called insulin resistance. So if you're a sugar burner, you'll end up being a fat accumulator. So remember that if you are a sugar burner, if you eat lots of sugary carbohydrates, you will end up being a fat accumulator. But that's not the worst of it. Once you get on the sugar burning track, you've started a vicious cycle that's hard to stop. Since your body is accustomed to burning sugar for energy, as soon as it is shuttled out of the bloodstream, courtesy of insulin, your body will start begging for it again. As your blood sugar rises and subsequently crashes, you will become edgy, depressed and fatigued until those cravings are fed. When you feed those cravings with more carb-rich food, the cycle continues. So you see how sugar is quite addictive. Your body gets used to it on a hormonal level. It becomes good because it makes you feel good, but it really does mess up the blood, the natural cycles of the body. And it can obviously cause type 2 diabetes. So how do you stimulate more glucagon? Well, as I mentioned earlier, the production of insulin and glucagon are like a seesaw. So the first thing to do is you need to stimulate the production of glucagon. And you do that by reducing the total carbohydrates in your diet, particularly the sugary and simple carbohydrates. Read your food labels. Look for added sugars in your food. Look at the numbers and see how much sugar is in the food that you're eating, and try to cut those foods out. There's carbohydrates in most foods, including fruit and vegetables, but in moderation, those are good for you. Those are what we are designed to eat. We are not designed as human beings to eat all the sugar that's put in our food for us and all the processed food that is in our diet today. Another way to crank up your body's production of glucagon is to eat a protein-rich diet. That can help as well, because protein directly stimulates the production of glucagon, and it sends a signal to your body that the hunting is good, and that it's safe to shed excess fat. Back in the days when we used to hunt for our food, glucagon and protein, when we ate meat, the production of glucagon would tell your body that you've got food to eat, and therefore it's safe to get rid of the excess fat that maybe the body is holding on to. So just going on very quickly, last couple of minutes, talk about prevention. Now, in my view, prevention is better than cure. Because type 2 diabetes can go undiagnosed for up to 10 years, it's really, really important that if you can identify with any of those symptoms that I mentioned earlier, maybe do have a chat with your GP. So how do you prevent type 2 diabetes? Yes, it is diet related. Yes, it is lifestyle related. If you're quite sedentary, exercise some more. Doesn't mean you've got to go down to a gym, you know, 7 days a week. You can just go for a 30-minute walk once a day. Or you can get a running machine or a rowing machine and do these things at home. But any exercise is better than no exercise. You also need to make efforts to lose weight, particularly body fat. Okay, don't do a crash diet. They're not sustainable. They don't work in the long term, and you're then on the yo-yo diet wagon. But lose weight safely, sustainably. It may take a bit longer. You know, trust me, if it takes 6 months, if it takes a year to get to where you want to be, rather than doing a crash diet and doing it in 6 weeks, if you take a bit longer, you will generally stick with it for the rest of your life. So losing body fat is important, and abdominal fat in particular. Fat around the abdomen, fat around the organs, you need to get rid of that. And make it sustainable. Improve your diet, eat less sugars, read food labels, avoid refined carbohydrates, avoid food that's had sugar added to it for you and in the processing, in the way it's processed. And avoid things like grains. Grains actually do your own research, but grains, potatoes and sugars raise blood sugars significantly. And grains, potatoes and sugars, in my opinion and from my research, are a big contributor to type 2 diabetes. And do more exercise. We've mentioned that. Just get out there. But if you'd like a chat, if you want to chat about the management of diabetes, if you have it, if you want to talk about potential reversal of diabetes, type 2 diabetes, if you have it, please contact me via my website, www.i-nutrition.co.uk. If you just want some free advice, I'd be happy to do that. And if you want to follow my Facebook page, which is iNutrition UK, then please do so. And I give away lots of information, but please do feel free to contact me. And lastly, if you know anyone, if you've got any contacts in any schools, governors, head teachers, and you'd like me to go and talk to some pupils, particularly in junior schools, about the dangers of sugars in their food, please make contact with me. So, about to wrap the show up now. The last minute of the show. Thank you for listening again. The show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. Drop me a line between shows and I'll give you a mention on the next show. I mentioned my website address, i-nutrition.co.uk. This show and previous shows are available on my media page and also on iTunes podcast if you search the Health Matters Radio Show. I'd love you to come on as a guest for future shows. So if you work in the health and wellness industry under that umbrella, and you want to come on the show as a guest, please make contact with me and we'll have a chat. And after our last song from 1982 will be the channel radio news and weather. And to wrap up the show, one last song from 1982. It's a classic I've not heard for a long, long time. It's Zoom by Fat Larry's Band. So until the same time next week, have a great week. Stay happy, stay healthy. Contact me if you need to. Have a great week.